Last week, CNN held their Democratic presidential debate in Detroit, just about an hour from Flint, Michigan. The moderators asked a few of the candidates what they would do to prevent another Flint water crisis.
And I was just in Flint, and they are still drinking bottled water in that town, and that is outrageous.
I assure you, I lived in Grosse Pointe. What happened in Flint would not have happened in Grosse Pointe. This is part of the dark underbelly of American society.
Amy Klobuchar and Marianne Williamson there, and so far, candidates Cory Booker, Julian Castro, Kristen Gillibrand, and Beto O'Rourke have all visited Flint on the campaign trail. But the Flint water crisis was a talking point during the 2016 election, too, and despite all this political attention, residents of the city feel like they are still not being heard. And while the EPA says the water is safe to drink, many people in Flint disagree. Joining me now is Arianna Hawk, a Flint resident and activist. Arianna, thanks for being with The Takeaway.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what is the current water situation in Flint today?
As of today, we're still getting bottled water. We still have to use filters. A lot of folks don't currently have water or are just, you know, in a desperate need for it. But same situation as 2014. We bottle waters, waiting in line for water and having to use filters.
So, I mean, I can't imagine. We're in 2019. You're talking about things being very similar to what they were in 2014. What's the day-to-day life like for those of you who still don't have clean water?
It's definitely a struggle, especially with it being pods being closed and you have to only get water 2 days out of a week. You know, most folks can't even get transportation to the pods. So it's still a stressful and like a distressful situation for folks here.
And you said those are pods?
Yeah. So we had water pods that were in each of the wards. And now we just have like water stations that are like ran off a voluntary basis from the church. And it's only two stations in the whole city of Flint for us. And they come on 2 days a week. So it's stressful for sure.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't the pipes in Flint supposed to have been replaced?
Yeah, the pipes on the outside of our houses, the service lines that the city on the city side are what they're replacing. But that's not helping us in for our inside of our homes.
So we just heard some clips from CNN's Detroit debate last week where some of the candidates were addressing Flint and the water crisis. This was an issue in the 2016 election. It's coming up again as an issue in the 2020 election. How do you feel and other residents of Flint that you talk to feel about the candidates who are coming to Flint to talk about water, to talk about it on the debate stage? Do you feel like they're actually listening, that they care, or it's more of just a public relations stop?
Not just me personally, but the community itself, just being out here, you know, we're tired of folks using Flint as a soft spot to be able to win over folks. You know, we're tired of folks saying they're going to do something and not actually done it. We've seen that in the past and it's continuing to be the same thing. So folks in Flint are like fed up with it. We're fed up with people saying that they're going to do something and don't do it. So it makes it for us, it's an uneasy way. It's not like we trust you because you say you're going to do something for Flint.
What about the Michigan government and the federal government that are currently in place? Have they given you any reason to trust them? And if not, what can they do at this point to regain that trust? I would imagine it's a question of giving you clean water, but you can tell me.
No, for sure. It's definitely making sure that we have clean water and that the families in Flint are still able to get bottled water during this crisis. But it's also no transparency or no trust in the government because of everything that has happened in our past couple years of dealing with them. You know, things have not been they have not worked in the better interest of the people. And so it's just no transparency and no trust.
What is the community doing on its own outside of trying to get politicians to care more about what's happening? Is there anything that activists in the community are continuing to do to bring attention to this issue or just to make sure that you and your neighbors have the water that you need?
Yeah, for sure. We have been taking that step in making sure that the elderly folks, the folks who are homebound, are able to get accessible water, that they're getting their filtration systems changed, that they know about a filter and know that when that red light blinks that you need to take this out. Most people in those homes don't even change the filters but once a year because no one told them how to do it or what to even look for. So just keeping the community alert about what's going on, what's in our water, you know, what effects to look for in your children. Just making sure that we stick together as a community because we see how it is when we trust in the government. They let us down and they continue to keep us where we at.
Ariana, not only were the presidential candidates there last week and getting some of that attention, but there is a mayoral primary happening today in Flint. Can you tell us a little bit about who the candidates are and what the political situation looks like? Is there someone there that you think will help change the situation in Flint?
As of right now, it's just a primary. And I feel like, you know, whoever our next mayor is, I'm hoping for them to be somebody that the community feels that they can trust. Right now, I believe it's maybe 5 or 6 candidates. And I don't see, you know, I don't know one specific person that we are all just for sure backing. Folks just want to see, you know, what people are going to really actually do outside of just saying they're going to do something.
Have folks left Flint because of this? I mean, you talk about it being from 2014. I mean, I would imagine there are some people who just can't wait anymore for clean water or just who are too afraid. Is that possible for people that you know?
Oh, yeah. I know a lot of folks who have just left because they don't know. We don't have a certain end date for the water crisis. Folks don't know when their kids are going to be able to safely drink the water at school, let alone at home. And folks are like tired of having an unclear answer on when this crisis is going to be over. So, yes, a lot of folks have decided that, you know, moving on the outskirts of Flint or just getting out of Flint to have a better quality of life is a good thing.
Do you feel that Flint is only brought up as a political talking point when it's convenient for the political cycle?
Yes, I do. I feel like this has gone on since we had headquarters in Flint, Michigan, with presidential candidates, and they left us, and this continues to always happen. Folks say they're going to do things, and once they get or don't get somewhere, then we don't hear from them anymore. So, yeah.
Ariana Hawk is a Flint resident and activist. Ariana, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.